We're going to continue in our study on 1 Peter. If you haven't been around, we've been studying the book of 1 Peter, or the letter of 1 Peter. And it's a letter that Peter, the Apostle Peter, wrote to disciples who were scattered around the area or the region that today we would call Turkey. So they were people who had left their homeland because of hardship, because of difficulties that had come upon them, and then they went to live somewhere else. And when they went, and there's a whole thing in church history, it's called the diaspora, where God scattered the church. I mean, he forced persecution to come so that the church got scattered, and as the church got scattered, then the name of Jesus got spread all over the place. Well, they're in places where it is not favorable to believe that Jesus is the Messiah who rose from the dead. And so he's writing to them. It's an unfavorable situation, circumstances they're living in. So he's writing to them about trials, is what he's been writing to them about. He's actually trying to encourage them to stay strong, keep following the Lord, don't turn back, don't go back to whatever you believed before, but hang tight in the middle of the trials you're going in, and that God's using the trials. So that's what the kind of the overall theme of the letter is. So here's the verses. Let's stand together. I know I had to just sit down, but let's stand together. It's just two slides today. Sometimes we do this. We just read the scripture out loud together. So let's do this. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Speak to our hearts today. Encourage us. Challenge us. Do what you're wanting to do as you continue to transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So before we dig into this, I want to look at the previous verse that we talked about at the end of last week, because it's a transition verse, kind of an entry verse, and it's 1 Peter 1:6. It says, "Be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while." It says, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. He said, be truly glad. That's a hard concept to grab a hold of. And if you've been around SWAG, I pretty much just teach it as it is. And the scriptures say we're going to go through trials, so we're not going to skip over the fact of going through trials. Matter of fact, over the years, here's how we've talked about it, is that for all of us, we are either heading into a trial, we're in the midst of a trial, or we're just having come out of a trial. One of those three. I mean, that's just the reality of life. And what ends up happening is, you're heading into a trial, you're in the middle of a trial, you just come out of a trial, and then it's like, oh. But the problem is, it circles back around, and you start heading back into another trial. That's just how it works. And to deny that, people would say, oh, whatever. But the truth is, that's how life works. That's how life works. And the scriptures are very clear about this whole idea of trials. And God, it's a cyclical kind of thing. And God uses those trials. He uses those trials. And notice what he said in the verses. And he uses the trials to test us to see if our faith is genuine. The idea of testing our faith to see if our faith is genuine, use interchangeably the word trust, faith and trust here. Use those interchangeably. Trials test us to find out, do we really believe this? Do we really trust? Or is it kind of a fake thing? There's lots of people in our world, there's lots of people in your family, there's lots of people in your community, our neighborhood, who had a conversion at one point. We use that term. They said yes to Jesus. I mean, majority of Americans say at one time or another, they said yes to follow after Jesus. I mean, statistics say that over and over. But sometimes what they are is jailhouse conversions. Do you know what a jailhouse conversion is? See, if someone goes to the penitentiary, they go to jail, whatever it happens to be, and they're going through a hard time, and in the midst of the hard time, they give their life to Jesus. My brother, who's been in and out of prison most of his life, he's in prison again, he's had so many jailhouse conversions, because every time he goes, then he goes like, blow it again. And yet, as soon as he gets out and the trials come, it's not genuine. And that's what he says. He says he uses trials. Peter's trying to tell them. He uses trials, and he uses that word genuine. Like, is this the real deal? Is this the authentic thing, or is this just a game we're playing? You know, is this just something we're doing because, you know, because we're like going through a trial. And so while we're in the trial, we're going to show that we trust him because, like, we need him in the midst of the trial. But once the trial's over, I mean, that's what he's writing about. That's what he's trying to encourage him with. And in the middle of the test and the trial he's going through. Again, this is not a new idea. This is not a new idea with Peter. Here's some scriptures about this. In Job, he knows where I'm going, and he tests me, and I will come out as pure as gold. I mean, Job, the guy we say, oh, I'm having a Job moment. You know, like, it's the test above all test. And Job says, you know what? I'm going to come out purified. He recognizes he's in the middle of a test. Or in Psalms, David says, you have tested us, O Lord. You have purified us like silver. Proverbs says, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Or Isaiah says, I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. Or Zechariah, I will bring that group through the fire and make them pure. I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. They will call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say, these are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. Or Jesus' brother James. We're all familiar. Most of us are all familiar with this verse. It says, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, when your faith is tested, again, the idea. Or Paul said in Romans, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us with endurance. Peter uses this illustration, and it's, again, a running illustration in the scriptures of being refined, gold being refined. And if you know anything about it, you know, gold is a mixed ore, and they would put it in a crucible, they'd put it in the fire, and as it was heated in the fire, the impurities would rise to the top of the crucible. And then they'd just take something and they'd pull the impurities off. And then they would, you know, continue until all the impurities were gone, so then you just had pure gold is the term that's used. Well, Peter's actually saying is that it's like God takes our faith, you know, what this thing, faith and trust, and he puts it in a crucible, and then he puts it in the heat to try and get the impurities to rise to the top so the impurities can be scraped away so that in the end we have pure faith. That's the picture that he's actually pointing. And he's saying that the fire, using his illustration, the fire is the trial. That's the fire. My faith gets put, my trust gets put in a crucible, then it goes through a fire and to find out what impurities. You know, when Barbara was pregnant with Nathan, our oldest, we were in Bible school, and poor as could be, I was working, you know, two jobs and doing school, and she was pregnant as pregnant can be. I mean, when she got pregnant, she got pregnant. I was like major pregnant. We were actually telling our granddaughter the other day, so when we were in college and she was pregnant with Nathan, and I mean, she was just, it was like hanging out there like this. We went down to this little park in Kirkland, and we were spending the day in the sun, or a couple hours in the sun. And she had her, you know, her moo-moo on, pregnancy dress, you know, on, and this goose starts chasing her. I mean, it's just chasing her, and I had a hard time fighting off the goose because I was laughing so hard. So she got pregnant, and so she's pregnant, and we get a letter one day. Again, we're in Bible school, we're living in student housing, we get a letter one day that says, you know, due date is arriving, and before we can admit you into the hospital, we need a $500 deposit. That's what I thought. I'm going, where are we going to come up with $500? And so I'm thinking, she's got this baby inside of her that's got to come out of her, but we can't go to the hospital to get it out of her because we got to pay this deposit. And I was panicked, you know, and showed it to Barbara, and then I said, well, I'm going to go to work. And so, and I can remember driving on the street in front of Northwest University. I remember getting in my car, driving out of student housing, going down there, and I'm driving towards my job in Bellevue. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't know if we can trust you for this $500. And as soon as I said those words, it hit me. I mean, it's like they went out of my mouth and went back in my ears, and I realized what I had just said. And I said, no, God, okay, I take that back. This isn't about that we can't trust you as if you're untrustworthy. I don't know that I have the trust to trust you for this. Does that make sense? It wasn't a failure with God's trustworthiness. It wasn't a problem with God's dependability. The problem was, could I keep holding on and trusting for that money to show up that we needed? So he put my faith in Barbara's, but more mine at that moment, put it in the crucible, and then he put it through the fire of the hospital saying, you better send a check or we're not letting her in the door. And that was the heat then. Does everybody get the picture? And that's what he does. He takes, are you going to trust me or are you not going to trust me? And impurities are faith. We all have impurities. We all have impurities in our faith. We have doubts. We have moments where we're not certain. We have moments where we're pursuing, where we're not pursuing. And God does that testing. It's interesting. There's an interesting verse that David says in Psalm 119. There's two verses. They're separated by three verses, but I have them up on the screen together. But it says this, I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. I used to wander off until you put me through a trial, until you tested me with some sort of a hard time. And now I'm closer to you. Now, how many of you could say that's part of your story? Raise your hand. It's the story that every believer goes through. That's why we love that song that talks about prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. It's because we all have moments where there's rough seasons. But he takes us through that, and then we come back. Or he says this in verse 71. He says, my suffering was good for me. Notice what he says. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees or your word or your truth. That it was good for me. I mean, that's what James said. Consider it pure joy when you go through trials. Because when you're in the midst of that trial, it's strengthening your faith. It's bringing strength. And that's what he says, and that's what he's saying. You know, another way to look at the whole testing thing is when we were building this building, there's this under this drywall piece right here, there's a great big old beam that runs all the way from the window, the dormer over there, so it runs through the post, dormer there to the dormer on the other end. And the blutprints called for it to be a prefab truss, and an I-beam. It's like 3 feet high, thick steel, you know, and so on. And so we started chopping around, and we found some place that supplied them. Like in Ohio, they supplied the beam. And the problem is we tried to, you know, okay, where do you need it delivered, all the whole thing. And they started looking and going, we're not going to do that on the ferry. We're not going to put it on the ferry. And then it's like, well, there is a way you can drive around. You can drive on the bridge on the north end. And then as they got, again, looking at it, the engineers trying to figure out how do they transport. That's a big thing to transport. They're going, how do we do that? You know, how do we transport that kind of a thing? And across the bridge, because they'd have to have one of those rear steering, you know, trucks, if you know what I'm talking about. And then we don't think we could make the turns necessary. So like, okay, well, thanks, architect. You build us a building for that we can't. And so I went to Ken. Ken at the time was running the construction at the boatyard. And I went to Ken and Justin's dad, Matt, who owned the yard at the time. And I said, hey, what's the possibility of you guys building us the beam? Because if you just built it on the island. So they started looking at it, got the prints, and went through the whole thing. And they said, yeah, we can do that. We can build it. We'll build it in two pieces, and then we'll bring it down, and we'll weld it together, and we'll put it up into place. So that's exactly what they did. But before we could keep moving forward, what we had to do was we had to have this company come out. And I didn't even know this existed. Ken, of course, knew it. And, you know, Matt and all the guys that work at the boatyard, they all knew it. I didn't know it. But we had to have a company come out who would X-ray the welds on the beam to make sure there were no flaws in the beam. So we get this company come out, and they got this portable X-ray thing, and it wasn't while it was up, it was on the ground, but X-ray this big old, that's kind of what a test does. A test puts you through an X-ray to find out where your weak spots are, to find out where there's cracks in your faith, to find out where you're prone to not trust. Now, to find out where you're prone to not trust, the trial has to come to the and reveal that the trial has to come in the place where your weakness is. I mean, it doesn't do any good to, like, when they're X-raying the beam, it doesn't do any good to go over here and X-ray this, you know, the beam where there's no weak possible weak spots. They got to X-ray it where the possible weak spot is. And that's what a trial does. It's like, well, yeah, I have no problem with trial, but the trial keeps coming this way. Well, the trial keeps coming in this way because it's in this way is where the possible weak spot is that God's trying to continue to reveal and say, we need some more work in this area. Everybody get the idea? I mean, that's what he's saying. He's saying it's to test us or to put us through the fire or to X-ray to find out where some building and some strengthening needs to happen. You know, there's a scribe who was around 200 years before the time of Jesus, his name was Yeshua ben Eliezer, and his writings were well known by the Jewish people. Jesus would have known all these, the disciples would have known these writings and so on. And some writings that the Jewish people followed, again, during Jesus' time, called Syriac, and you can find them online. Here's what the rabbi said, or the scribe said. He said, my child... I have those slides up there, I think. Was it up there? My child, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for testing. Now, again, all the Jewish people read this stuff. They knew this stuff. Jesus would have known it. The apostles would have known it. He says, my child, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for testing. Now, when you gave your life to Jesus, whenever that happened to be, did someone tell you, okay, you get forgiven, you're going to have a new level of peace, you're going to have some new purpose in your life, you get to go to heaven, but be prepared for testing. Anybody tell you that? That is not usually the message people say. You know, come follow Jesus because when you do, he's going to test you. Most people go, yeah, thanks, no thanks. I think I'll just stay right where I'm at. It's not a very encouraging idea. But that's what he says. My child, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for testing. Set your heart right and be steadfast and do not be impetuous in the time of calamity. Keep going. Cling to him and do not depart so that your last days may be prosperous. Accept whatever befalls you and in the times of humiliation, be patient. Keep going. For gold is tested in the fire and those found acceptable in the furnace of humiliation. Ouch. I mean, who wants to go through a furnace of humiliation? But these guys would say it's in the furnace of when God humbles you that the testing and the growth and the strengthening all comes. So he says, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Grab a hold of it. Make sure. So if you're heading into a trial, you're heading into a trial, ask the question. You know, you're like, okay, I know I'm heading into a trial. I mean, I'm already on the front end of the trial. I'm already feeling some of the feelings of the trial. Ask the question, God, what are you trying to test? What are you trying to reveal? What are you trying to show me about my trust? If you're in the middle of it, you're in the middle, you're kind of at the top of the bell curve here, in the middle of the trial, Peter would tell, and Peter would say it over and over again, hang on, hang on, hang on. This is for your good, but hang on. Keep staying right there. This is part of what God's doing to x-ray and reveal the areas where your trust is weak. And if you come out the other side, come out the end of a trial, you know, you've gone through it, you know, into it, through it, now you've come out the other side, then ask yourself, do some reflection. What was God trying to help me trust him more with? What ways was God trying to help me trust when I was in the middle of that trial? Do some reflection. What was that all? What in the world was that all about? Otherwise, we just go through it and we come out the other end and we lose the benefit. You know, it's like you know, in the sports world, you know, the coach will take players through, you know, very, very difficult workouts. And then they go through a game. And after the game, they don't just go, well, the game's over. Now let's just move on. What do? They go, no, we're going to go back and we're going to review the game. You know, I mean, clear back, you know, for us, it was pre-video days. You didn't have, like, let's watch the video. There was no video, you know. I'm that old. There was no video. but we're going to review the game. You know, at that point, they had, you know, you had charts of where every shot was taken, where every rebound was came from, where every turnover went over. And, they're up there on the chart, and there's your name, and there's the places you shot and missed. There's the places you, you know, blew it by throwing the ball away, whatever it happened to be. We just reviewed the whole game. Now, it's all done in, you know, with video, and it's not even video anymore. It's, you know, you can just, they, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Review it. And here's what he says. Here's the promise that he says. Go ahead and throw up the next, the last slide. He says, when your faith remains strong through trials, when it's proven genuine, when it's proven the real thing, this is not a jailhouse thing. This is the real deal. He says, when your faith remains strong through trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. He says, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor. You will hear, what did Jesus say? You will hear me say, well done, your good and faithful, my good and faithful servant. Those are the words we all want to hear. I mean, those are the words we all want to hear. The day we see Jesus after having gone through a trial, like, well done. Well, well, well done. Because it really doesn't matter what everybody else says, does it? It really, like, I mean, we get so caught up in what everybody else is saying. But really, the only thing that matters is, what does God say? What does God say about it all? Here's what Paul said. A person with a changed heart seeks praise from God and not from people. Isn't that a great verse? A person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. But too often, because God hasn't changed that place in our heart yet, we're looking for what people are telling us about it. We're wanting the praise of people. We're wanting the accolades of men. But when your heart's been changed, you kind of go, you know what? What really matters is what God says about this. So, if you're heading into a trial, buckle up. You don't know what the trial is going to be like, but remember, the trial is part of the test. It's part of the purifying God's doing in your life. If you're in the middle of the trial, and the trial's there, and it's likely that the trial is happening in a spot of weakness, because it reveals where that weak spot is. So in that trial right there, okay, God, you just admit it. God, I am not very good at holding on to you in the midst of a financial struggle. Some people, it's financial stuff. Other people in this room, finance, who cares, you know, kind of thing. It's just money. Other people, it's health struggle. That's when it really gets them. They can go through a financial struggle, but bring a health struggle on, ooh, rough. Others, it's relationship struggle. Other, it's business struggles. Other, it's, You know, the loss, the possibilities of loss is struggle. I mean, they're just endless. Everybody with me? So, but it's in those moments when you're in the middle of the struggle, you just admit to God, God, I need your help because you're testing me and you're trying me right now. And I want to come out of this strengthened. Amen? I want to come out strengthened. That's what you want. Lord, you know each of us, some heading into a trial, some in the middle of a trial, some having just come out of a trial. Lord, we don't know why it's one of your ways, but it's very clear from the scriptures, it's very clear from the life of your church and spiritual leaders, and it's very clear from just life as we observe it, that you use trials to strengthen us. And people catch up on this. They talk about how struggles in life make them who they are and make them stronger. And, you know, they hated going through the trial, but they'd never give it, you know, never bypass it. They'd want to go through the same thing again because it's what it did to them. We recognize this as people that we're strengthened in trials. So for everyone, health struggles that people are going through right now, financial struggles, relationship struggles, struggles about what the next phase of their life holds for them, struggles about disappointment, struggles against sin, and habits that have controlled or have a partial control on their lives. Lord, give them the strength in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the struggle, give them the strength that you could continue to do the transforming work you're wanting to do. So thanks for what you're going to do. Thank you that you love us enough to send us through trials, to test us and strengthen us. So those of us in this room and those online say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy. It looks like it's a number of sunny days on the way. So enjoy. Bill and Stephanie will be up here. Love to pray with you. If you